Hola mi gente, my name is Jessica Yáñez and I want you to join me for some Wine and Chisme. The Wine and Chisme podcast was created to amplify voices across communities of color, all while drinking a glass of wine. From wine talk, interviews, and recaps of all things pop culture, join me every Wednesday for the Chisme. Please make sure to check out the Wine and Chisme podcast and other amazing podcasts as part of the Latina Podcasters Network.
What if we fed our hair with the same nourishing ingredients that we feed our bodies? Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, your Hungry Dew will feel well fed from the superfood ingredients packed into every bottle of hair food. Every hair food product is free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, and mineral oils because your hair does not want to be eating that. So if you're looking to really nourish your hair, it's got to be hair food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target.
Hey, mamacita, welcome to the Mamas con Ganas podcast. That's mamas as in, hey, mama, y te traemos episodios para que tengas las ganas de motivarte, surgir y triunfar. Don't be a mama con drama. Let's be mamas con ganas. I'm your host, Valentina Izarra.
On this episode of the Mamas con Ganas podcast, ay, 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 mamacita, we're talking about something very hot. It's really the Mamas con Ganas podcast today. We're talking about lust. Lust from the perspective of self-help, self-development. Because we've been actually doing a series on the seven capital sins and how they relate to the world of self-development. And we got to number three, and my husband, he was the one who decided last week.
There
he goes,
you go.
Next week, we're talking about sex.
So
lust.
Here we are.
So here we are.
But we're looking at it as one of the cardinal sins.
Cardinal sins.
So I think today the topic or the subject or actually the title would be Mama con menos ganas. That would be appropriate for the topic of lust.
Because, okay, so basically how to eliminate the ganas that we're born with, whatever.
To kind of put the brakes on your ganas in certain circumstances.
How to rein in the ganas.
Yeah.
Hold back the ganas and use it, the ganas, for something else,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. Well, it's really funny that you say that, but a lot of... And I wish I could pinpoint the exact person that said that, but the correlation between the abstinence and harnessing. No, that was
Napoleon Hill.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a so
exactly.
Yeah, let me fill
Let's
the,
get some context
fill the mamacitas yes. in here for a little bit.
Please.
And see if I can remember. But so there's a really, really, really famous self-help book. It's probably like the original. Yeah. It's called Think and Grow Rich, and it's by Napoleon Hill. And it basically talks about success and how to become wealthy and how to just...
And not only from a material perspective, but from a have an abundant mindset.
Yes. So, it's basically becoming... Think and grow rich, but becoming rich in every single way in your life. Yeah. And it's like a step-by-step manual on success. And one of the chapters, actually, you're right. It talks about... using that lust, that desire that you know is forbidden inside you, to harness it and use it to actually create something really good.
Yeah. So
it was really interesting, that chapter.
I know. And that's exactly what came to mind. Jorna, who Valentina collaborates with, had asked me, okay, well, you know, if lust is lust only a bad thing? And that's what...
So let's talk about the definition. The definition of lust is... like unharnessed, illicit, and forbidden desire of the flesh. We're talking about the flesh. We're talking about sex.
Okay.
Okay, so go ahead.
So I think the key component in that is the unharnessed. And it's interesting because what do you put a harness on? Typically, you would harness like a horse.
A horse.
So it's this idea that our animalistic instincts and our passion has value. It just needs to be reined in. It needs to be harnessed. So that is the challenge, is that if you have that, if you let that desire run wild, why is it that that has so many negative consequences? And in this day and age, even more so.
Absolutely. Because there's so much sex being thrown at us from everywhere, mm-hmm. from social media, from the movies. And it's interesting because even like cable television, like the type of content we see right now on cable television,
yes.
some of it is basically what was considered soft porn
yep.
before. Like actors never had to do these kind of scenes. I mean, if you go back, and I loved Games of Thrones, so I'm guilty as charged here of watching it. But some of those scenes from Games of Thrones, I was thinking there, I was like, whoa, this is like really like
heavy.
I don't have to use my imagination here at all.
And we were even just watching an older Netflix show, The OA. And all of a sudden there's, you know, fellatio basically being presented. Like completely gratuitously.
Yeah, it was gratuitous.
It had nothing to do with anything.
And of course, it wakes you up.
Yeah, and right? It's just like, okay, I guess this is going on now. So it's really crept into our lives. I mean, if you think about it, especially with the internet and the accessibility of pornography, like back it up like 30 years. What did you have to do to see a porno movie? You had to go to some very awkward place. And with a very, very awkward people, it was like almost a shameful experience. Now with the internet, it's like you're hiding behind.
There's no shame. You just pick up your phone and you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, kids are caught in school looking at porn during class.
Which is so dangerous.
So dangerous.
It really is, because I mean, how distracting can something be? I mean, what's more appealing, like long division or watching two people fornicating? Like, I mean, you can't put that in competition with one another.
No. <at all. laughs> Sorry, this is funny, but it's true. Like there's no teacher, even if they're teaching sex ed, they can't compete with that.
No, it's and the challenge is that the mind will always pull you to those images. It's like, and if you don't have that developed willpower as a child to be able to kind of harness that, it's frightening. It's frightening.
And not only that, but I think like the more that people watch it, like I've read articles, there's even been TED Talks about it, is that it can become a really fast addiction. And more people are becoming addicted to pornography in younger and younger. Right now, the average age of somebody looking at porn for the first time is from the age of 8 years old to 11 years old. So like in our generation, again, it was very different. Maybe we found a dirty magazine in our parents, you know, in our parents' room or something, but that was like the extent
of it.
And maybe
hardcore, extremely visual,
very different
live, you know, a video or something of that nature. It's completely different.
And it can become completely distracting. Like, because we're talking about lust, but we already had a conversation last week. It was all about eliminating pride and about having pride just overrun every aspect of our lives, where our relationships can be ruined by that. Mm-hmm. And the week before, we were talking about envy and also about how envy can be this type of feeling that if you don't harness,
yes.
again, if you don't harness envy, then it could also destroy you because you're incapable of seeing how you yourself can do things that you can go after, things that you desire, by only looking down upon those people who already have it.
Mm. And it's interesting because, you know, you see how these cardinal sins intertwine with one another, and envy and lust, they have that the big FOMO component to them, like going after the forbidden or going after something that's not yours. So the way those two sins somewhat intertwine is that you want to take for yourself. Like lust is the idea of, from a carnal perspective, getting involved with another person, but for your enjoyment alone. And that's the challenge with pornography. It's because that act, that what you're seeking for, is for your enjoyment alone. It's not for your contribution to an event between two people. It's just for your self-satisfaction in that moment. And that's how those two components intertwine. And the pride really also dovetailed into that, because in that pride, it's that sense of deserving, like the world is your oyster, right? And the world is your oyster would be the you know, from a selfish perspective, so to speak, would be, how can I pick and choose the women of my life in order for them to best serve me?
Yeah, it's basically, and I was reading it because,
like, from a man's perspective,
and I know we are not talking about, like, religion or any spirituality, but from that perspective, it's basically like lust. What it does is it places the person, just like you said, it makes that person an object. So it objectifies the other person so that it's only for your pleasure.
Yeah. It's
like a selfish type of a thing.
It's a self-serving act.
Mm-hmm. Instead of something that, and at the end of the day, I mean, this is my opinion, obviously. So I grew up in going to Catholic school for most of my life. I went to public schools as well. But for, like, the way that I was taught was that sex was something sacred, that sex wasn't negative. I mean, I know that a lot of people have had this religious sort of, they've been upbringing. Told by religion and upbringing that sex is bad. I was never told that sex was bad. I was always told that sex was sacred.
Sure.
And that sex was really good when shared within the confines of a, you know, of holy matrimony, yeah, the way that they painted it for me. But basically that it was something special, that it's not something that you just give away to everybody that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that, you know, think in my life, I've always said, thank God for this, because I think that we're very animalistic. We're born naturally with a lot of desire and a lot of lust.
For sure.
And I feel like I've always been connected to my sexuality. And I feel like if I hadn't been sort of
reined in
or sort of guided as to, like, the good part about sexuality, I think I could have also fallen into the trap of using sex just for my own pleasure, but also as a distraction. And 'cause I feel like a lot of people use sex as sort of like a drug or like a food. So I know we're going to talk about gluttony soon.
Good.
And gluttony is like that overeating and over drinking or overconsumption of something. And I think sex falls right into that category of, I want more, I want more, I want more. And the more you have it, the more you want it. And the more you just sort of open the floodgates, it can get out of control super, super quickly.
And the challenge with that is that if you're never kind of deepening into one relationship and one sexual experience and really having the thorough appreciation of what that's all about, you're always having these fleeting sexual experiences. And you're always either looking for something in a partner that you saw, or you're comparing to another partner, or if that person's not molding to your expectations, then swipe left. And that, I think, is a very destructive behavior, because first off, you're really only focusing on that element of the quote unquote chemistry that you have with someone, which is, you know, which I think is
awesome. Let's not get it wrong.
Yeah.
The chemistry is awesome.
Well, let's be honest. No, but let's be real. Like, in our relationship at the beginning, we thought we were
sexually incompatible. Literally.
And
which makes us laugh now.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, let's kind of dial it in. You know, when I met Valentina, I was in my late 20s. I had never ever been with someone that had children before. And that was not even something that wasn't even a possibility for me. Like, that was so far removed from something that I would think of. And then, you know, I'm introduced to Valentina. I had not known that she had a little 1.5-year-old at the time, Lucci. And
I was in the midst of a divorce.
Yeah.
A very long, drawn out divorce.
You know, and we just started dating, and we really have a lot in common, and we have a good conversation.
We had a lot of chemistry, a lot of connection.
Yeah. But man, when it came to the bedroom, like, from my perspective, everything would just create this big barrier. And it's like, what are you doing here? There's no future. Why are you getting involved with someone that has a child? You're going to have to be responsible for that. How do you want to do that? It's just it was overwhelming, and so much so that it was
interfering
with our sex life.
And interestingly enough, on my side, I was coming off of a relationship that had been like pretty much destroyed by the sin of lust. Mm-hmm. I would say, if I'm going to be open, like, I found out that my ex was cheating, and I was left, you know, not just cheating, but like it was extreme, the amount of
infidelity.
And that left me feeling completely, completely insecure, particularly with my own sexuality. So I had always been confident in my sexuality, although in reality, I had been a virgin when I first met him. So it's not like I had this wealth of experience with people, but I was always comfortable in that,
yeah,
you know?
You were good with that.
I was good with it, and I was fine. And then when that happened, you know, as a woman, it's like, I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not beautiful enough. What's wrong with me? My insecurities. I mean, I'm not lying when I said I felt like the most unattractive person in the world. Like, I felt so sexually undesired. And as a woman, I feel like that's super. And I think we've even been conditioned to think that it's important to be sexually desired. Mm. So I was completely destroyed. So when we come together, we have all these things in our head and these hangups that, you know, we had to work on.
Yeah.
And I think, thank God that we didn't break up, or else we wouldn't have this beautiful family that we have today.
Yeah. And you know what? We had that. We were so resolute. We were like, no, this is a great person. This is like, why are we putting these barriers in place? Like, you know, we're attracted to one another. It's just that we had all these hangups. But that, all that to say, when you take sex seriously, I think that at the end of the day, those hangups were a healthy thing. Because had we not kind of delved into the seriousness of what we were getting into, maybe we would have dated, had a bit of sex, this, that, and the other, and then, you know, we're off on our separate ways. Whereas because of the fact that we're like, man, this is like a really, really nice person, and this is not
why is it not working?
So you know, that's the good in recognizing lust to be a challenging aspect of adult life.
Yeah, and we had a lot of conversations. Like, in order for me to actually marry him.
Imagine.
I mean, I think this was probably the conversation we had the most often. It's like, I wanted to make sure that the next person I was going to, like, if I was going to get married, I didn't need to get married. I was like, no, actually, I don't want to get married again. I was so scared, right? But if I'm going to do this again, I better make sure that at least we align, because I thought I aligned, with my sexual goals with my ex, but we were completely polar opposite.
Hashtag sex goals.
Hashtag sex goals. This
sexual
time around.
Goals. How are we doing on our sex goals now?
This time around, I was like, okay, I better make sure that our sex goals are aligned. It's an important part of the relationship.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Okay, mamacita, hold that thought. Now, a word from our sponsor. Here's an inspired idea. What if we fed our hair with the same nourishing ingredients that we feed our bodies? I've been using clean, simple, kitchen-crafted recipes from Hair Food and have seen amazing results. Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, your hungry do will feel well-fed from the superfood ingredients packed into every bottle of Hair Food. Oh, and did I mention the scents? Everything from coconut milk and chai spice to refreshing tea tree and lavender water. They're all so different, and they all smell so good. Every Hair Food product is free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, and mineral oils, because your hair does not want to be eating that. So if you're looking to nourish your hair, really nourish it, it's got to be Hair Food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target. So we had a lot of conversations about this topic, about what we felt about the subject, about what it meant for each of us. Because listen, I'm not here to judge anybody's sexual preference, sexual life, sexual whatever.
Lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I know there's people in a lot of different types of relationships, but I think you need to know what it's resonates for you.
Yeah.
And what aligns with your internal
with your values that you've created
and your spirit. And yep. I truly wanted a monogamous relationship. But I also wanted a really hot relationship.
Spicy.
Hence,
sex goals.
Catacle.
Watch out.
Okay. What were you going to say?
So kind of dialing back the idea of lust. And let's kind of look at that from that possibility perspective, which is what we've been doing. As opposed to looking at lust from the right and wrong perspective, what are the challenges about what are those challenges associated with having a way of being that puts the sexuality on a pedestal?
Sex unharnessed.
Yeah. What would be the challenges?
I think my biggest challenge, if I was to just let the floodgates open, it would be complete distraction. Mm-hmm. I feel good. Like wow, it would be something that I'd be thinking about constantly, and I wouldn't be able to concentrate on a lot of my other things.
Wow. It's interesting because it is about the concept of alignment, aligning yourself with, are you aligned with God, or you align, you know, we'll say God, the universe, you know, spirit, you know, that flow state. Are you aligned with what you're here on this planet as a human being? For whatever reason, you were born a human being. You could have been a cat. You could have been born a dog. You could have been born, you know, a plant. But you're born with all the powers that are given to you as a human being. So what does that mean for you? What are you going to do with that? And if you step into the space of what is this world going to do for me, and then you die, then that was your contribution. Like, you were born a human being simply for your ability to take from this planet, as opposed to your ability to contribute.
I want to know from your perspective, if you were to let sex or lust take over, what would be the most, what would be the consequence for you?
That's a great, I think distraction was a, you really hit the nail on the head with that one, because it is so true. It could be so, that's what shocked me the most about hearing about a child in the middle of school looking at pornography. I'm like, yeah, that is extremely distracting and extremely luring. It's like the siren's call. And that's why there's been so many, you know, metaphors about that, because it's so appealing. In addition to that, I think that if you feed those thoughts and act upon them, you end up breaking down productive relationships around you. Meaning, you could have had great friendships that ended up, if you looked at them only from the perspective of sexuality, you can end up ruining those relationships. You can end up ruining, you know, your marriage, obviously, but even a working environment. Once you've introduced that into the workplace, it's not a healthy thing. You've just created a monster. You know,
absolutely.
They say you don't poop where you eat. And
sex is like that.
Well, that's what the concept is. You don't create those inappropriate relationships in an environment of productivity. You're here to offer something to the world. You're not here to distract yourself with what's best for you.
It's something just came to me. I think that the world tries to really downplay the importance of sex.
Yep.
So much so that we're almost convinced that it doesn't matter at all. That it's something like eating an apple.
Yeah.
So I can eat this apple and then I can eat that. But like you're saying, if you let that sort of go into every single aspect, all the types of relationships that you have, and you start having sex with this person and that person and that person, you start realizing that there's a lot of trouble that kind of follows you with that. And that sort of shows you that actually, it's actually really important that sexuality is a gift. And we sort of go back to that Wow. Something that we think is so unimportant and that it is special and that it is made for us to enjoy, because there's the good side of lust is like, we're supposed to desire each other, be passionate for each other, mm-hmm. particularly if you're in a relationship, like a serious relationship. It's good to keep the excitement juices and flowing. The juicy and the, you know, I love when he desires me and he loves it when I desire him.
Sex
it's like,
goals.
What?
Sex goals.
Sex goals. Back to sex goals. But yeah, but that's, so that's the good side. But on the flip side, if you make it seem as if it's not important, I think the more you make it seem like it's not important, the more it's a snowball that gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then by the time you know it, it has ruined your entire life. And I've seen this over and over with people that don't harness that lust, is that it ends up literally, you know, it's like they take the rug from underneath them and they don't even know why their whole life is turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And it's just that inability to keep their thing in their pants.
Watch out. Or that thing out of their pants. Or someone else's thing in their own pants. There's a lot of things in pants and skirts as well. But anyways, the interesting thing is this doesn't only apply to people that are in monogamous relationships. And what I mean by that is single people as well. I mean, you could be single and you could choose to be single. But if you still don't rely on those principles of, okay, I'm just going to sleep with whoever I want, whenever I want, however I want, then you still become trapped, even though you're not necessarily in a monogamous relationship, because you sometimes robbed yourself of a great friendship, or robbed yourself of a great work experience, or robbed yourself of growth in a specific work environment because you chose to behave in that way that was very self-serving.
You had to be the papi chulo.
You had to. Yeah.
The Don Juan. Another thing about lust is that, sort of like food, people who want to fill their emotions or fill their they have this sense of emptiness that's inside of them that they want to fill with either food or drinks, and they think or sex. A lot of people use sex, I think, to fill that thing that they can't seem to fill for themselves. That sense of wholeness that we all desire in life, because I feel like that's every single human being that I've ever met has this sense of wanting to feel complete. Mm-hmm. And I think that the only thing that can complete you is not in the realm of the world. It's in the realm of the spirit.
That's well said. That's well said. And
without getting religious or anything.
No,
you know?
It's not about it. This is not about religion. It's a very broad concept. I mean, if you want to call it God, you know, spirituality, whatever have you. But as men and women, we're always in this dualistic component of being the human being, this creative entity that is a part of this world, a unit, a part of the ensemble of the world, and this creative force, versus the animal human sapiens that is here to create their own little fiefdom, feed themselves, procreate, and die. We are both at the same time, but we're consistently having to make choices in one direction or another. And the interesting thing is that when you step into that realm of abundance and that connectivity, that's when you're stepping into that spirit world where you don't have to hang on to every little thing, every little person for your own self-pleasure. Whereas when you step in the other side of the equation, you're left feeling lonely because there will never be enough. And in this day and age where you have a device where you push a couple of buttons and get a pizza, I mean, there's the abundance element of it is always present. And the scarcity element, likewise, is always present. So you're constantly having to make that choice to step into that connectivity, step into alignment, step being one with God. Those and those behaviors of being one with God is just looking at things from that bigger perspective, but bigger perspective as a creator, looking at yourself as a creator, a designer of your own life.
Absolutely. And I will say that all of the seven sins, I think they play, we fall into the weakness of you know, of their trap, because we fall into the weakness of their trap because they actually are like the places that they can go inside ourselves where we don't feel satisfied within.
Yeah.
So we want to satiate ourselves with sex or satiate ourselves with obtaining other objects and more and more and more, you know, where like you're saying, like nothing's ever enough. I want to eat another chocolate cake. I want to have another drink. I want to sleep with another person. Like all of these things, it's all those places within ourselves where we feel insecure and where we feel a little bit empty.
But and the funny thing is sometimes it's weird. It's really weird because the fuel is sometimes the same fuel. It's like passion. But the car is totally different, or the destination is totally different. Like someone could be extremely passionate and building and doing all these amazing things, but in his own heart, his intentions are like, wow, there's going to be families that are going to be living here, and I want to create something wonderful for them, and I want to create an experience for them, we're not all talking about being Mother Teresa, and
no.
You know, even from myself, I'm taking care of patients, and it's wonderful, and I'm remunerated for it, and it brings me so much joy, but that's passion. I'm very passionate. I'm very engaged with that. The same passion could lead me to just using that to acquire a bunch of material possessions to give me that sense of grandeur or a certain quote unquote sense of feeding my ego. And the feeling is almost the same. That's what's so crazy. It's like you. That's where you got to be so. Self-aware.
I will say, adding in here, right, real quick, there's an episode that I did on the power of intention. And I think this is what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly.
It's like depending on the intention that you have, it's like the feeling inside might feel this, like it's almost the same, but really it's the difference between night and day.
Yep.
And it can make all the difference. And it can also be the difference with whether at the end of the day you feel content with your life. Because I feel we need a combination of like drive and pursuing and the goals and the go-getting and blah, blah, blah. We also need this sense of gratitude and a sense of contentment within. Because if we never feel content, then we feel like even more empty because we're just feeling like we're going for all these empty goals that never bring us any sense of satisfaction whatsoever.
That, you know what? It's so well said. Even though the fuel may be the same, the size of your tank might be different. In that, in certain instances, it only watches. Speaking of,
I love what he loves to do.
I love analogies. but in a sense,
keep on going. Okay, the car might be the same, but the size of the tanks might be different.
Exactly. In that, if you need so much passion, so much, I mean, if your intentions make it such that you need so much drive to get you to keep going, then it almost becomes overwhelming and exhausting, and it leads you to burning out. But when your intentions are aligned, your tank shrinks because it doesn't take you much to feel that sense of fulfillment, because you know in your heart that you're doing the right thing. You know in your heart that your contribution is so much bigger than and so much more beyond yourself, that you don't burn out, you don't flame out, because you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the greater good. And however much you can do at that moment is enough. You always feel like you're enough because you're aligned.
I like that.
I say some interesting
stuff. Sometimes you say some interesting stuff, Carco. I don't know how we got out of the conversation of sex. Sex was so much fun. And all of a sudden you talk about tanks cars and whatnot.
Bigger tanks.
No, but I love it. I love it. It's so true. Carco, behind the scenes, you were telling me about the picaflor mentality. What's that?
The picaflor mentality. Well, I mean,
you see how Latino he's becoming, this man?
Latino. All the way from Canada. this idea, and it's interesting because it's very predominant in Latin culture, in Italian culture. I think it must be a European thing. Because you don't really look at like Scandinavian countries and be like, oh yeah, those Vikings, they're those big Don Juans, you know, It's a very
Spanish Italian
hot blooded deal where you want to, you know, having more women and sowing your seed and so on and so forth is like such a fulfilling way of being. And I think that ends up playing against a lot of people in the Latin culture, like in Italians. Like, I mean, you grow up, you're this teen, you might have your little girlfriend and you're happy with her and you hold her hand, and next thing you know, your cousin's like, ah, you know, when are you gonna get out there and go, you know, fool around, and you gotta expand, you gotta see. And then you're like, okay, well, maybe my girlfriend's not enough. Maybe I've got it, you know, maybe I'm missing out on all these experiences. And it's like right then and there, you're totally like being led in a direction that's not necessarily going to serve you. No matter how many girlfriends you have, no matter how many dates you go on, no matter how many flings you have, it's like it all comes back to that little feeling you had with your little girlfriend, just holding her hand and, you know, wanting to talk to her until 3 o'clock in the morning and just being like super into that one person.
Oh, I just fell in love all over again.
But right? Isn't it like there's something so beautiful about that? And you're like, and then the world comes and like, nah, this is reality. You gotta go see some tits. You gotta go, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm like wrong.
Yeah, because the world had... it tries to sell you this thing like that it's not enough just to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not enough. There's always something more exciting. And there's always something that's like the FOMO mentality. It's exactly that FOMO thing you were talking about.
Fear of missing out. FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah. So all this to say, you know, lust, just like every other cardinal sin, is this living in a framework or stepping into a way of looking at life that never fills you up. It's like a recipe to anti-fulfillment, because you're always looking for more and you're never going to find it.
And I guess that's what we're talking about, why we are discussing it here in the Mamas con Ganas podcast, because we talk about purpose and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the core of self-development, is finding your purpose, finding your fulfillment, like true fulfillment, not this fulfillment that's external, where you're pretending to be happy or pretending to be fulfilled. It's something way more personal that only you know if you have it when you're alone with yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, it's literally broken down into like, what moments are you creating on a day-to-day basis that are reinforcing the person that you want to be or don't want to be? Like, what are you, how are you showing up with other people in order to be of value and of service to them? Like in any interaction, like you're at the grocery store, you're waiting in line, you have a quick conversation, you offer a piece of advice. Like those are all those things count. It's not just because you were like some big shot president or CEO of a company that only in those meetings, that's important. But that time that you're helping a lady find her keys or something like that, that's not important. No, every single one of those interactions are part of you.
I will say, I know I'm kind of deviating to one last thing that I want to discuss. And it's, you mentioned also behind the scenes that you wanted to talk about, because he's reading a book right now on discipline. And you were saying like discipline ties in into all these cardinal sins.
Yes. So discipline,
how it relates to lust, for example.
So the book that I'm reading by a really very admirable author, Jocko Willink, he also has a podcast, is Discipline Equals Freedom, a field manual. And this is
crazy title. Yeah. Discipline Equals Freedom. Because I think most of us, when we think of discipline, we think of like
chains. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's and it's so interesting. So first of all, this, you look at the book, you know, and Jocko, and it's like the least Mama con Ganas type of person you can imagine. Like this super straight edge American Navy SEAL guy that's like no business, like no messing around. But the principles are so powerful. And the concept is that the discipline equals freedom is so powerful, because once you are able to rein in your willpower and understand that your mind is being torn in different directions, but you can choose out of your own will to stay the course, to stand the line, to hold the line. He'll so often say to set a standard and stand by it. That's when you have true freedom, because you are designing the life that you want and you're standing by those standards. And even though there might be other exterior things that pull you in one direction or another, you don't waver. That's the freedom element of it. It's your ability to do what you want because you have the will to do it, not because you're pulled in that direction from an egotistical perspective.
Very cool. So, Mamacita, we want to know what you thought of this episode. What do you think about lust?
We want to know your sex goals.
No, what you thought about the conversation. Yeah. I know that we could keep on talking about this for like a very long time, but we want to know what your thoughts are. And also, like, now...
What are your expectations, or what conversations would you have with your brother, sister, with your husband about this very topic? Open it up. Play with it.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing about lust is how much shame it brings. This topic is so tied to shame. And I think that's why as a society, we suffer from it so much, because it's so shameful. You know, the act of deviating from what the right, or, you know, the quote unquote right thing, is so shameful that people really stay away and they shy away from even talking about the subject.
It's worth stepping into. So
it's worth stepping into.
Get in there.
Go to mamasconganas.com/87 and write your comments down. And we'll see you next week. Next week, what are we going to discuss?
Are we going with gluttony?
Gluttony. We're discussing gluttony.
That's because it's a stupid.
See you then. Bye.
Hey, it's Valentina. Espero te gustó este episodio de nuestro podcast. If you liked it, or if any of our content has inspired you in any way, I'd be ever so grateful if you showed some amorcito by reviewing us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Every single review will help us reach more mamacitas so they can live their life con muchas ganas. It's because of you, our listeners, that we're able to create contenido para otras Latinas. Un millón de gracias por suscribirte, escuchar y compartir nuestro podcast. Si tienen preguntas, comentarios y más, pueden visitar nuestra página web mamasconganas.com or follow us on social media at mamasconganas. You can also write me directly at info@mamasconganas.com. Hasta la próxima. Es Valentina recordándote, don't be a mama con drama. Mm-mm. Let's be mamas con ganas. Besitos.
What if we fed our hair with the same nourishing ingredients that we feed our bodies? Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, your Hungry Do will feel well fed from the superfood ingredients packed into every bottle of hair food. Every hair food product is free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, and mineral oils, because your hair does not want to be eating that. So if you're looking to really nourish your hair, it's got to be hair food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target.